Welcome to another episode of the Oncology on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Russ Conroy. Dr. Richard Lazaro from RWJ Barnabas Health spoke about how his use of ION, a robot-assisted platform, has impacted his practice as a minimally invasive treatment option during lung cancer surgery. He also discussed other potential advancements in the field related to augmented reality technology, as well as the importance of multidisciplinary treatment decision-making for patients with lung cancer. So first, I saw that you were featured in an article about the use of ION, a robotic-assisted platform, at Monmouth Medical Center. Can you describe how this tool has impacted your practice?
Lung cancer affects so many patients. More than 230,000 in the U.S. In addition to patients with lung cancer, about 1.6 million people are found each year to have a nodule in the lung. And when you look at those nodules, you really want to determine whether or not they are suspicious or they can be followed. And a large number of nodules are suspicious. And you can do probability testing, looking at the size of the nodule, if it's grown from previous scans, if there's been any activity on things called PET scans, which assess the function of a nodule. Is it inert or is it biologically active? Is it in a patient with COPD? Is the patient older? Is the nodule in the upper lobe? Does the nodule have irregular borders called spicules? Did it grow in each direction the same symmetric radial growth? And if you can utilize those tools to be able to look at a nodule and determine that it should not be observed and it requires a biopsy, the ION is an amazing platform because it gives you the ability to diagnose, to add an additional tool called endobronchial ultrasound to stage, because in lung cancer, time to intervention is critical. And this robotic platform gives us a minimally invasive solution to lung biopsy. And this particular tool overcomes some gaps. You know, the gaps could be traditional ways to utilize a bronchoscope required that the lesion be in the central part of the chest. If it was a nodule that was in the periphery or the surface of the lung where more than 70% of cancerous nodules are located, then bronchoscopy couldn't biopsy that. It would require a CAT scan guided biopsy, which had higher incidence of something called pneumothorax, higher incidence of bleeding. In this robotic platform gives us the ability to reach and not only reach, but biopsy these nodules that are in the periphery of the lung in all of the segments of the lung. So it is a game changer for patients because in 2024, if you've got a suspicious nodule, you should have some tissue on that. Now, for early lung cancer, there are times where we might forego a biopsy, but for the majority of patients, we really want to have a biopsy before we make a treatment decision. And utilizing this technology and knowing the advances in systemic therapy and studies in immune therapy, many patients nowadays are getting treatment before surgery. And so the ability to acquire tissue and do staging with less complications and up to a 95% chance of getting to that area and getting a diagnosis of cancer and doing it safely for patients really gets us an opportunity to diagnose patients earlier, treat them earlier, which has always been shown to be beneficial in lung cancer. So in essence, you find an answer, it's quicker, it's less invasive, and you get your diagnosis, your staging, and your treatment plan.
What does the current data or evidence show about the efficacy of ION in this patient population?
I always think that, you know, data is definitely operator dependent. You know, like How motivated are you? What tools do you utilize? What lesions are you going after? You know, like if you go to biopsy something that's big, that's 3 centimeters, you're probably going to be up to, you know, 100%, you know, being able to get a diagnosis on it. And sometimes, you know, you may find smaller lesions that are under 10 millimeters and they're more peripheral, and those are more challenging to get to. And does the operator utilize technology to kind of confirm that as you've utilized this robotic bronchoscopic platform and you've gotten to the lesion, you know, can you confirm that you're actually there? So I'm happy that we're over 95% successful in localizing the lesions, and we utilize different tools. One is fluoroscopy. One is something called body vision, which is utilizing the fluoroscopy machine, but doing a simulated spin to develop a CAT scan image to confirm that your biopsy instrument is actually in the lesion. And then the final tool that we use is something called radial EBUS, endobronchial ultrasound. So when you navigate to the lesion, Russ, you put a needle into it, do a biopsy, you take some of that fine needle aspirate, and as you're preparing it on slides for your pathologist who's in the room with you, and we use that rapid on-site evaluation 100% of the time, while the pathologist is looking at our slides, we're putting that radial EBUS probe in, and we're looking for a signal that demonstrates that our tool is in the lesion. So not only do we use endobronchial ultrasound, fluoroscopy, body vision, but we actually take the material at the time of acquisition, and we have our pathologists tell us that we have what we call lesional material, enough to make a diagnosis and enough to do all of the molecular testing that is called next generation sequencing for our oncologists to make a treatment decision regarding systemic therapy.
Are there any patients with lung cancer who may particularly benefit from treatment with the Ion robot? Are there any patients for whom this approach would not be recommended?
Yeah, I think that patients who really will get the biggest benefit are the ones that we're looking at to do induction therapy on. So when you get a CAT scan and you get a PET scan and you're doing a clinical stage of that patient, and it's certainly stage 2 or stage 3, being able to acquire a biopsy with Ion technology, utilizing those tools and having the pathologist there, allows us at that one setting to be able to confirm the stage, get all of the pathology material in a very short period of time to be able to make that treatment decision. So patients who are going to get induction therapy, and a lot of people are getting them now because of studies that came out in the New England Journal, I think it is our role to get tissue staging and molecular pathology. So those patients would benefit most, the ones that you're going to plan on doing some induction chemotherapy, immunotherapy. The other patients that you know would not benefit from undergoing bronchoscopy in general are the ones that maybe their emphysema, the contraindication, so to speak, their emphysema is severe enough that they've got low oxygen at baseline, and putting them under a general anesthetic would not be wise. The same thing if they've got instability of their vital signs. Maybe they've got cardiac disease. Maybe they had a recent myocardial infarction or heart attack. You know, people who are not cooperative. And usually when we think of an uncooperative patient, you know, we're thinking about someone that we're sedating. But for this, we're thinking about the patient, you know, who's undergoing a general anesthetic. And so they're going to be cooperative from a, you know, interaction with the treatment team, but uncooperative in this instance may mean, you know, that they're high risk for surgery. And maybe that's because they've got other illnesses that are going on that their internist or their pulmonologist or their cardiologist felt they were not safe to undergo general anesthetics. So, and that's kind of what I meant by the uncooperative patient. It was just not medically cleared, and that's probably a better term. And then finally, if someone's got a propensity towards bleeding and they've got a bleeding disorder, you know, that needs to be addressed before the procedure is performed.
Are there any other developments with respect to robotic-assisted minimally invasive VATS surgery that might hold promise in the field?
Robotic surgery is a form of video-assisted thoracic surgery. So we know that smaller incisions that preserve the concepts and the critical tenets of oncologic surgery never need to be changed. Like, so doing maximal oncologic surgery, minimally invasive, is the goal. Our system, we do more than 95% of our procedures minimally invasive and utilize usually with the robot. Future technology in the robot will be an augmented reality platform, the ability to take a person's imaging beforehand and not just picture in picture, have their CAT scan with a three-dimensional reconstruction alongside your operative field. But the future of surgery will be much like you drive your car and have GPS navigation and a highlighted map. I think the ability to recognize structures in the operating room, utilizing the fusion of advanced imaging with the visual field, will be an important consideration in the future and is something that many companies are working on and will be a game changer. Today, the Intuitive robot came out with their fifth generation, you know, within the last few weeks. So today being 2024, and as that gets rolled out to more institutions, that apparently gives you back some haptic feedback. Haptics being the ability to feel. And so the first generation of the robot, you can see with 10 times the magnification, you can operate with 3 times the precision. You've got more ability to move the instrument internally, and they describe that with degrees of freedom. It's like having your hand inside the chest and you have a wrist and you can dissect around structures. And there's a whole field where, you know, you're operating and you can appreciate the tension and counter tension that you apply to tissue to be able to perform surgery. But the ability to actually manipulate a robotic instrument and be able to feel the tissue while you're controlling a $2 million robot is another game changer. I do believe that in the future, the ability to record those movements of the surgeon's hands while an operation is being performed and the ability to observe a video recording of that operation will be used for training new physicians so they can go watch some master surgeon perform a master operation and have their hands strapped in. So not only are they seeing the operation, but their hands are strapped into a machine that's taking their hands through the same movements that master surgeon did. So you get the motor memory or muscle memory and learn actually how to do those moves, that not just seeing how it needs to be done. So it's an exciting time because anything that you can do to leverage technology to minimize the variability in surgeons eliminates the skill gap so that the novice surgeon becomes, you know, as technically gifted as the intermediate surgeon, as gifted as the master surgeon. And I think that's really the goal of medicine. How can we get 99% of the people performing at the top 1%? And that's to utilize such technology, get a world of hyper performers.
How does multidisciplinary care factor into your treatment of patients with lung cancer at your clinic?
You know, it's important. The advances in lung cancer management are tremendous. You know, more patients can be treated with improvements in long-term survival. And a lot of that comes from having a what's called a multidisciplinary thoracic tumor board that includes medical oncologists, radiation oncologists, pathologists, radiologists, pulmonary physicians, thoracic surgeon, oncologists. And when you're able to review a person's history, their images, and their pathology, and be able to relate them to clinical and pathologic staging, you can take that person's current extent of disease, and based on National Comprehensive Cancer Network guidelines, confirm here is the collective decision of the group and how we're going to treat these patients. And then you get to follow them up, and then you represent those patients for their response to treatment to determine their next care. And sometimes it's surgery first with no adjuvant therapy and just surveillance. Sometimes a patient has very early cancer and they're not a great surgical candidate because of bad heart, bad lungs, bad kidneys, bad liver, and then they're a candidate for stereotactic body radiation therapy or SABR or CyberKnife that people call it. And that's a great modality. But a lot of the patients are going to become candidates because they may be found with stage 2 or 3 disease, and they're going to become candidates for induction therapy. So our oncologists are going to be doing chemotherapy and immune therapy, and then we're going to get repeat imaging, and we're going to discuss it again. So a little bit, you know, more work to get the team together. But that idea of we're not looking at it as work, we're looking at it as more planning to develop the best treatment approach for patients. It's like you want to take care of patients like that patient was your family member, but you were objective. And I think that's the beauty of multidisciplinary approaches. So it factors into all of our patients. Maybe not every patient needs to be presented at a formal multidisciplinary tumor board, but every patient is discussed between thoracic oncologist, medical oncologist, radiation oncologist, internist, and pulmonary. So there is a shared decision-making that gets, you know, disseminated and spoken with the patient so that they understand they've got not one person, but a team of physicians taking care of them.
And considering everything that we discussed today, what do you hope your colleagues sort of take away from this conversation?
I'd say let's all do our best to get the information out there that the management of lung cancer is different than it was even 5 years ago. That if we can detect lung cancer early, we have options for treating patients today that we never had before. Options that significantly improve cure. So speak with your patients, get them to get CAT scans, get them to be evaluated by some type of nodule clinic or a thoracic oncology clinic that includes either pulmonary or medical oncology or radiation oncology or thoracic surgery or all of the above. Because if we find things early, easier to treat. If we find things more advanced, let's get that ion bronchoscope in. Let's do the mediastinal staging. Let's get the molecular pathology. And let's get them a multidisciplinary approach and get some induction therapy and a reassessment. But this is the time where we really need to make a huge difference in lung cancer.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology On The Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at cancernetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancer-network.